SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in to the early line. We are live right here on Sports Grid on a Wednesday morning. I'm Kevin Walsh, joined by Donnie Wrightside. DRS, a lot to get to over these 2 hours, as always. How you feeling?
Feeling good. You know, tomorrow, another Sweet 16 Elite Eight run begins here. A lot of topics to go over, including OKC. Could they have the best player in the NBA and be the hottest team? You tell me, K-Dub.
One of those is possible. The other is not, but he's real good.
Oh, come on.
We'll get to that, no doubt. We begin, though, with the World Baseball Classic that has more than earned top billing here in the 7-7. Headlines yesterday, Team USA versus Team Japan. Mike Trout versus Shohei Ohtani, and Ohtani wins that battle, gets the save in this game, and strikes out Mike Trout for that final out as Japan wins 3-2.
Yeah, big overall performance here by Ohtani. That's what you do on the world's biggest stage. Typically, it's the World Series. Now it's the World Baseball Classic. He was phenomenal all the way through. An MVP caliber player with a monster lead already at the FanDuel Sportsbook coming into the season. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But Ohtani is a superstar. This just in, he's really good.
He right now is the face of Major League Baseball. So, and the World Baseball Classic had, I know for me, some personal ups and downs in terms of interest. We're going to get into it, but the World Baseball Classic rules and maybe should replace the Major League Baseball season or some of the takes that I'm starting to hear from people as to how exciting this all ultimately turned out to be. We get on over, though, to some NFL news. A Lamar Jackson update. Look, I don't want to bog down our audience with Lamar updates every single day, so this might be the last mention of it, but I did think it was worth bringing up, Donnie, that the reports are being put out from Lamar's camp that he is ready to move on from Baltimore. As, again, our audience has heard here on this show a very long time ago, Lamar not wanting to be in Baltimore makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, shocking. You're never going to get me weapons at wide receiver, and you don't think I'm worth that much money. Yes, I do want to move on here, where another organization is probably going to tell me, we'll pay you a lot of money and we'll surround you with all the weapons you need to succeed. No surprise here for Lamar. Well, I think we're beyond the point, too, of like hurt feelings here. I don't think Lamar likes Baltimore, and I don't think the Baltimore front office likes Lamar. Let's get a nice clean split here. Somebody sign the guy. Let's have some fun, Lamar.
Yeah, that Lamar fatigue will start to set in for people, which is, again, maybe why we just hit this in 7-7, and then we'll leave it there. A tremendous piece of NFL news yesterday. I don't remember any like this. The reports are DeAndre Hopkins' trade talks are absolutely skyrocketing, heating up, almost done. I didn't see a single team, though, actually linked to DeAndre Hopkins yesterday. I don't know where he's getting traded, Donnie, so you and I will try and talk about some landing spots that we think make sense here. But the Hopkins rumors are hot.
Yeah, there's no World Football Classic here, so he has to stay in the NFL to be traded. But this is one of those guys, Kevin, that you look over the past 5 years. If you want a big play and you want your quarterback to have confidence throwing into double coverage, this is your man. He is a game changer, and it would be exciting to see him go to a legitimate Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, it absolutely would. Is that on the cards, or is somebody going to look to try and bring in perhaps DeAndre Hopkins to up a younger quarterback there? All of those feel like potential options, no doubt. Lastly, here in the NFL, draft odds finally on the move. Did the Schefter report just circle? Is it perhaps mock draft season starting to get people excited here? But C.J. Stroud, still the favorite, has lost his lead a little bit. The radio audience is here on Wednesday morning, the early line, Sirius XM, channel 159. C.J. Stroud, minus 150. Bryce Young, plus 150, Donnie.
Yeah, a lot of meetings coming up here for the Carolina Panthers as they try to hone in on exactly who they want to take at quarterback. They're in the driver's seat. Whatever morsels they put out, that's going to shift the FanDuel marketplace here, no doubt about it.
Absolutely. So we'll talk about in a recent mock draft from NFL Network's Daniel Jeremiah, which has some interesting selections and notes within that mock draft and how it relates back to the odds board. In the NBA, we did see Dylan Brooks pick up his 18th technical foul, and he will officially be suspended once again this season. Did I put a Dylan Brooks headline in the show? Yes, I find Dylan Brooks hilarious these days, quite frankly, and I like that he's now going to be suspended once a week because he can't keep stopping himself from getting technical fouls.
The only thing surprising was it's the 18th. It might as well have been the 36th or the 56th technical foul. If you would have told me it was 56, I'm like, yes, that sounds about right here. I like the gamesmanship, if that's what you can call it, from Memphis now. I mean, you want to talk about a team that's playing in the wild, wild west? It's Memphis. Watch out.
And they're back to, oh, it's okay, Ja's not here. We'll win every game. But again, that's partly because every game they play is against the Dallas Mavericks, and the Dallas Mavericks stink. Another team that does not stink, as you said off of the top, the Oklahoma City Thunder. It's a 500 basketball team. They're playing very well. SGA, surprise, surprise, 30-plus. And last night is a 6.5, 7-point underdog to the Los Angeles Clippers on the road. If they went outright, 101-100.
Yeah, also, you watch that game, too, as we talk about, you know, Paul George leaving that game early. That could be a devastating blow here to the Clippers. And also, don't we have, like, a golf cart, at least in the NBA? Why do you have to? Why do a couple basketball players have to carry a guy like he's on the battlefield back to the locker room? Can we at least get that in the NBA, Kevin? Get him a golf cart. Drive him off.
They can't get licenses for golf carts in there, man. I mean, it's just how it goes. Hey, Iona makes the 7-7 here, which some said when Rick Pitino left, we'd never see Iona the 7-7 again. They hire Fairleigh Dickinson's Tobin Anderson to replace Rick Pitino.
I love this. I mean, this guy was a superstar during the tournament here. I look forward to him at Iona just with the actual press clippings.
Absolutely so. We'll be right back after a quick break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back with you right here on the Early Line. And yesterday, in this spot, we talked about the World Baseball Classic. And I did not think that we would be here this morning talking about the World Baseball Classic in this spot. In fact, on radio, on Moneyline, with Donnie and I together, I told him that we would likely do the World Baseball Classic in 7-7 and not again. Why am I saying all of this? Well, it's to offer perspective on how I think, for at least myself, the World Baseball Classic has grown in favor. By the end of it, was won over by the event, quite frankly. I know that my counterpart here not only has not been won over, but is doubling and tripling and quadrupling down on his notion that this entire thing is a useless exercise. I think, though, for me, as I watched the World Baseball Classic, DRS, it had the investment level. It had superstars. It had drama. It had high-level baseball. I mean, if you're a baseball fan, it checked every single box. And by the way, you can keep trying to pretend that you're a Major League Baseball fan and not a baseball fan. It's a load of malarkey. I mean, I've never heard anything as silly as that in my entire life. And what we saw as well last night is it wasn't like it was a bunch of no-name guys. No, it was actually, Donnie, the biggest names in Major League Baseball. And it finished up in an incredible way where the face of the sport, Shohei Ohtani, is on the mound because, of course, he is, because that's what makes him the face of the sport, is that he can do both. He can hit home runs and doubles and everything and then also go out there and strike out as good of a lineup as you will see in an event. And he strikes out maybe the second-best player in Major League Baseball in Mike Trout, who had himself an incredible WBC. Japan wins here. You can see the excitement from their team. They sent out the Japan radio call or broadcast call there, and you can see the excitement in their call, and you can see the excitement even when USA took the lead off of a Trey Turner home run. The WBC has already been backed by your boy Rob Manfred heading into last night's game, saying that they will 100% be supporting the 2026 event, and as they should. This World Baseball Classic here was an absolute success, and I look forward to the next one.
Yeah, 4 years down the road, you know, we'll get amped up in 4 years about this. It's a great exhibition. I remember back in the 1920s, you know, you'd have Babe Ruth get on a train and hit home runs off random pitchers in North Carolina and South Carolina on his way down to spring training in Georgia. It's fantastic stuff, and I'm sure everybody appreciated it. But then I said to myself, hey, Babe Ruth, does that mean you're going to win a world championship for the Yankees this year? No. We're just going to have some fun here. Did last night for the Philadelphia Phillies, that count? Like Trey Turner, does that home run count? towards the regular season for the Phillies here? Maybe not at this point. If you enjoyed the World Baseball Classic, that's awesome. I'm just a hater because I don't get into stuff that means absolutely nothing for my baseball team. And I joked with you, being half serious, going, you know what the best part about the WBC is? No Phillies players got hurt here, which is fantastic. Shohei Ohtani was on center stage. He's striking out Mike Trout. That's all fantastic stuff. I don't care about any of that. I'm looking forward to next Thursday when the Phillies take the field, where Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout line up side by side out there in Los Angeles to get a season together that actually means something. Wonderful exhibition. The players enjoyed it. It's fantastic. It means absolutely nothing because Major League Baseball starts next week, and that's what actually matters.
Look, I think if that is what matters to you personally,
yes, yeah,
I don't think anyone can argue that, but that's not what matters to Ohtani. It's how it matters to Mike Trout. And it's not what mattered to the millions of people that watch this event here in the States. And then, of course, even more than that, internationally. There are two things, though, that I want to pick up from the World Baseball Classic. And one is about Team USA. Because one thing that you will notice is they had an all-star game lineup, 1-9. Trey Turner was batting ninth in this lineup by design. And then Merrill Kelly had the ball. And Kyle Freeland had the ball. And I don't mean to slander those fellas. You appreciate them showing up to the event. But what a lot of people say when it comes to the World Baseball Classic in years past is, man, only if Team USA sent their best guys. And this year was a half step in that they sent their best lineup. But DeGrom and Scherzer and Verlander were nowhere to be found. And I think that's because that's the nature of pitching. I don't think there's some pitchers group chat who also, you know, was in there with Donnie basically being coerced to not show up to the World Baseball Classic because they didn't care. I think it's the nature of pitchers, Donnie, where basically an extra nine innings, most organizations be like, now in what world did we you know, green light you throwing 60 pitches in the World Baseball Classic here? I am very interested to see with, again, the excitement level that was around this one and the almost success that Team USA had. I wonder if next go around in 4 years' time, Major League or, well, Team USA features at least two of their top pitchers. None of them were to be seen on this roster.
The tough part about that, Kevin, is because the timing of the season, as you know, like pitchers and catchers report, and it's like that slow ramp up where, let's just say, a pitcher starts throwing off a mound in early January before he even gets to spring training. Those guys aren't throwing a lot of pitches in spring training, and once we get to the Major League Baseball regular season, pitchers aren't going nine innings right off the bat here on April 15th. You got to stretch those guys out for the long run, and also from a team's perspective, would it be great to see Max Scherzer in there really competing? Maybe a Verlander out there, absolutely. But if you're adding another, let's just say, 20-plus innings to that pitcher before the Major League Baseball actually starts and in high-leverage situations, it's probably not going to work out all that well in late August into September and if you want your team to make the playoffs. But you bring up a really good point because from a player's perspective, you know, it's some freak injuries, right? Altuve, one of the better players in the game, goes down because he gets hit in the thumb. And then obviously, you know, Diaz going down with the knee injury. But the everyday 1-9s, they're just getting their licks up there and it probably helps them long term. But that frontline pitching, you just can't risk it because it's not as if it's back in the day, Kevin, the early 80s, like Nolan Ryan going, hey, I'll throw 250 innings in my sleep right here. I don't even need a warm-up. Let me go nine innings in the World Baseball Classic. That's not how we treat it. And I know yesterday as we ended up on radio, I mean, you can imagine the panic if Clayton Kershaw was actually on Team USA. Like, oh, my God, he threw seven balls in that inning. You got to pull him right now because we won't have him for the season. That's the way most teams act. But it is a shame that, you know, in the biggest moment, you get Merrill Kelly as opposed to a Max Scherzer. That would have been interesting.
Well, I mean, and again, to be fair, right, if Clayton Kershaw was in this, then basically Dave Roberts would be the manager. That way he could pull him. Yeah. And not Mark DeRosa, who is, and I like Mark DeRosa, but who is presently works for MLB Network as a baseball analyst. So, again, the full measures were not taken by Team USA. They lost. I'm curious if they try and fix that in 4 years, if that interest is still there. To then pick up with Shohei, Ohtani is plus 220 right now to win the American League MVP. And I think there's really only two ways in which Ohtani does not win this award. As last year, he was deep in the mix, and that was while Aaron Judge hit a record-breaking 62 home runs while competing for a Triple Crown. What ultimately could get in the way for Ohtani is injury, as is the case with anybody in the race, or he is traded to the National League in the middle of this season. That's basically about it. The thing is, Ohtani getting traded is not ridiculous. It's not the usual, Kevin fan fiction of me begging Donnie to, hey, Donnie, do you think this guy's going to get traded or this guy's going to get traded? They've already kind of started to put out the reports of how Ohtani appreciated actually playing winning baseball, which is pretty pathetic for the Angels, right? That Ohtani had to go play for Team Japan to actually feel something on the field as opposed to going out there winning 74 games while being the best player in baseball with the LA Angels. I don't know if they're going to be able to get a deal done in the middle of the season because of how much will have to be sorted out, Donnie, with that trade, but I do not expect Shohei Ohtani to remain an Angel for that much longer.
Let's see if he does, and I sort of switch gears on that because LA's a monster market, and he is the draw along with Mike Trout. Those are the guys you want to keep around because they're box office. They're going to bring in the advertisers. They're going to bring in the worldwide appeal, not only in the United States for Trout, but also Ohtani worldwide and also in the United States. The interesting part about the MVP race, Kevin, he's such a favorite of FanDuel at a plus 220. Are we going to get what I call Giannis fatigue on Ohtani? Go, what? His ERA is 3.20. He's only got 41 home runs. Yeah, that's not an MVP. When absolutely that's an MVP because he's pitching well and also hitting well. That's the only thing I'd be worried about.
I think that fatigue also maybe helped judge a little bit last year. Ohtani didn't win. Sure. That is Ohtani's award with health and being in the American League. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's get to some of the latest news in the National Football League here, and specifically around DeAndre Hopkins. Yesterday, a report from Ian Rappaport, DRS, says that the trade discussions around Hopkins are starting to heat up, and this is a deal that should be done sooner than later. What did throw me off a little bit with this is that we didn't really then get a list of teams. You would have that report to me suggested we're going to get a deal done in 24 hours, right? And that didn't come with, here are the six teams most in the mix here. What was your takeaway from the idea that this Hopkins deal, again, is approaching a conclusion?
I do think it is because most teams, Kevin, you have your money now in free agency. You're trying to shape your roster. But number two, most teams want to get their free agency completed by the draft so they can sort of fill in those needs to see what they need, see what they still have left over. I do think this is going to happen sooner than later, Kevin. It also comes back to what the Arizona Cardinals' future is. I'm not saying that you want to get rid of DeAndre Hopkins, but sometimes when you have a talent on your team that's probably unhappy right now, you can move him, you can clear out payroll, you can get your installation of offense installed and move forward here. So I think it's the perfect marriage of very good football player, a market for that football player, and a team willing to move said player.
Yeah, I think right now, the interesting thing for Hopkins and why I would have really appreciated a six team list is you and I are going to talk about spots that make sense for him. And the answer is, by the way, almost every team in football, right? If you can financially make it work, DeAndre Hopkins makes your team better. If you need DeAndre Hopkins to come in and be the number one, I'm still pretty confident he can do that. If you are in a spot to make DeAndre Hopkins your number two, you're in a really good spot because we haven't seen DeAndre Hopkins get the opportunity to really play alongside, a guy that could challenge him for number one status. And part of that is because Hopkins has, been for so long such an elite player. But last year as well, Hopkins came off of a season where he played nine games. He had six games with 79-plus receiving yards. Seven-plus catch performances as well. And again, just nine games overall. It wasn't as if last year we looked at Hopkins and were like, man, I don't really know what he's bringing to the table. That was not the case for me. Played a couple of games with Kyler Murray, played a couple of games with Colt McCoy, but he still looks like he has the ability to be one of the 12 best wide receivers in football. And I'd be stunned if you were to try to offer me a list right now of 25 names better than DeAndre Hopkins, which would, again, make him a high level two on any roster.
Yeah, he's an odd shifter, as I like to say, Kevin, because he's a complete package that wants to come into a winning organization. At least that's what we think. Maybe it is all about money, Kevin. Hey, whoever's going to pay me the most, trade me there. I don't think that's the case now. He's banked some pretty good money in his career. Now it's time to win. There are some organizations out here that can really add fuel to the fire with bringing in Hopkins, whether or not it's the absolute height of, let's just say, a Kansas City Chiefs that goes, you know what? Cleared out some cap space here. We're going to go get ourselves a true number one and really get after it here and see if we can press the needle down while we have Patrick Mahomes. Maybe you add him to a younger quarterback situation where they have some weapons, but now you give that quarterback no doubts by saying, we're going to surround you with a lot of talent. We're going to go over some teams that we actually like, but you're right about this. You can't go up and down. I mean, again, not to just say because I like the Eagles. Like, outside of the Eagles with A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith, I don't know where, like, Hopkins would fit in. Would it be wild if he came to the Eagles? Absolutely. But there's so many teams out there that might have a number one, but not a number two. Maybe have two number twos looking for that number one in the locker room. You're right. If there's 32 teams in the NFL, 28 will be like, you want DeAndre Hopkins? Yeah, we'll take him.
Yeah, so to then get to the teams that we think make sense, perhaps my pick a bit stubborn, as yesterday Jacina Anderson reported that this team was not in on DeAndre Hopkins. But look, until it's over, allow me to at least make the case and why I think this would be a mistake for the Cleveland Browns to not be interested in DeAndre Hopkins. Again, when we talk about bringing in a wide receiver to help your quarterback, right, it's, you know, usually because you have a young quarterback that you want to give their best chance to succeed. Then there's the Browns, who have obviously handed over their franchise to Deshaun Watson in an unbelievable way, right? In a nature that is going to potentially force Lamar Jackson out of Baltimore. Watson is everything in Cleveland. And I obviously don't need to sit here and run through Deshaun Watson, DeAndre Hopkins statistics together. They were unbelievable in Houston. And to get Watson back that familiarity, that would be really beneficial, because we can't pretend that Watson came back off of that big delay and lit it up. That's not what happened with DeAndre Hopkins in the slightest, or rather with Deshaun Watson in the slightest. And I also, Donnie, look at this Browns roster. They have a need. The Browns are interested in actively pursuing wide receivers right now. Outside of Amari Cooper, Donovan Peoples-Jones, Anthony Schwartz. I mean, what, this team needs wide receiver help. I don't know why they've decided to not pursue DeAndre Hopkins, because I think the fit makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah, and you also, I still believe that. I don't think he's up here. Let me just take a look at the quick lineup for the Cleveland Browns. But is it Amari Cooper? Amari Cooper is still there, which you want to talk about a 1-2 punch, absolutely red-hot fire. That is it. Here's what we're trying to balance out, and I agree with you with the Browns, actually, I do. You have a quarterback. You are in win. They're not in team-building mode. You sign a quarterback for that much money guaranteed. You're in win-now mode, which is why they took on that salary last year, tried to offset it a little bit so they can catch lightning in a bottle. It didn't work. But also, you saw the Cleveland Browns, Kevin. What did they do this year already? Push that money back to open up spots so you can get talent. And if you are Deshaun Watson, he actually shouldn't need this much help. But based on what we saw last year and the regime for the Cleveland Browns that doesn't want to be embarrassed, going, my goodness, did you see the draft capital we gave up, Kevin? Did you see the amount of money we signed for Deshaun Watson and he needs this much help? You have no choice but to go out and get weapons. If you have Cooper on one side, Hopkins on the other, Nick Chubb in the backfield, and a full offseason of starting ability for Deshaun Watson, the sky should be the limit. Isn't this what you're supposed to do at this point here? I know you can build through the draft and sign cheaper guys here and rely on Amari Cooper. I get that. But my goodness, how much better is Amari Cooper with Hopkins on the other side? It's wonderful here. It makes too much sense, Kevin. It does.
Yeah, absolutely, right? Because, again, that a world where Hopkins is your number two is a great world. Because, you know, in the reports are well, they're taking a look at Marquise Goodwin. Respectfully, what in the world? What? Marquise Goodwin? Marquise, I mean, you can't be serious. Marquise Goodwin is a number three at best, four? That isn't even the same stratosphere there. That's just an unserious move by the Browns. Tell me a team, though, that you think could make some sense in terms of pursuing DeAndre Hopkins.
Let's keep it in the same division. Oh, it's the Ravens. No, it's not the Baltimore Ravens because they don't want to get any help on offense at the wide receiver position. Let's go to another team there. How about the Pittsburgh Steelers? This is the scenario that I love. You get a young quarterback that comes in and you go, you know what? He could be something here. I like the way he performed, came in as a rookie here, did his business, and now we move to the next level in year number two. I like George Pickens at wide receiver. The Steelers, for some reason, as an organization, can really pick out wide receivers in the draft. You have Deontay Johnson on the other side, but your third wide receiver right now, Gunnar Olszewski. Come on, that can't be it. You really want to take that next step in Pittsburgh because you know the defense is going to come to perform each and every year. You want to help your young quarterback out. In that division, you had DeAndre Hopkins there. Now we're looking at a vertical threat. Remember, we used to laugh at the Pittsburgh Steelers just a few years ago with Ben Roethlisberger. What's your offense? Claypool on the outside, just throw three jump passes to him 15 yards down the field. If it doesn't work, we'll just punt the football. Now you have all the dynamics put in and also helping your young quarterback. It's what. Why does Jalen Hurts look so good for the Philadelphia Eagles? Very good offensive line, good tight end, great wide receivers, a competent head coach calling the plays slash offensive coordinator. Give Kenny Pickett that chance. Let him know that you are surrounding him with talent and you believe in him. Get him a superstar wide receiver, which again, Kevin, sometimes it's not so much of just feeding him the football, but on third and nine, I don't care what the coverage is. I don't care if it's double coverage. If I throw it over to his side blind, he's probably going to make the catch. Perfect fit for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, I think Pickett would love playing alongside him. I think you would probably have people say, just let George Pickens grow into the role.
True.
And that's it. I think that would be an interesting conversation to have, though, because Pickett is way more important than Pickens. And if you want to make sure that things are... What you don't want if you're the Steelers is to be a part of this conversation again next season. You don't want to have, you know what, this didn't work out. We got to get him a guy, right? Because that's kind of how these things often go is, oh, there's a down year. We got to get somebody a guy. You know, for Jalen Hurts, look, the Eagles went to a playoff game before, obviously, this year's Super Bowl run. But it was like, man, they got to get him some wide receiver help, right? Like, he had a rookie in Devonta Smith that last season. You don't want to be at that part. So the Steelers being aggressive, a kind of put me over the top type of a move in terms of your pass catching room, I can't knock that at all. Look, I don't know how this turned into an AFC North segment, but I'm fine with it. The fact that neither one of us said the Baltimore Ravens continues to again be a major indictment. Yes, Don, the perfect answer. Do you know what I almost offered up instead of the Browns? The Colts. Because Lamar Jackson fits with DeAndre Hopkins so well.
Yeah.
That was going to be my take, is give me the Colts to pair with Lamar Jackson. Because I know Baltimore's uninterested. I know they are. They want to know if the Cardinals have any cornerbacks for trade. They don't want DeAndre Hopkins.
Yep. No, he's exactly correct here. The easy, simple answer is Lamar gets re-signed, you trade for Hopkins with whatever he's going to, fourth rounder, third rounder, and you make it happen, and off you go with Baltimore, legitimately at one of the favorites in the AFC. But it's too easy than that. We like to be hard on ourselves, apparently, in Baltimore.
We've got a lot of good NFL draft nuggets coming up for you after the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The NFL draft continues to get closer and closer by the day. And the NFL draft odds have finally decided to move around a little bit. We saw Daniel Jeremiah of NFL Network, who's one of the lead NFL draft analysts out there, offer up his mock draft yesterday, which allows us to get a scope. And Daniel Jeremiah certainly scouts these players, but this is, for us, far less about his evaluation of Bryce Young, and it's about what he thinks is going to happen, because he is plugged in, and that's what matters to us. It's not whether or not you believe that Will Levis is worth the first overall pick. It's about what the Carolina Panthers are actually going to do with the first overall pick now that they've traded up with the Chicago Bears. And in this mock draft, Daniel Jeremiah believes that it is going to be Bryce Young. And now we have finally seen the odds shift a little bit here, DRS, in Bryce Young's favor. CJ Stroud remains the favorite, but just 24 hours or so ago, he was around minus 220 price. Now down to minus 150, with Bryce Young checking in at a plus 150 price. we're in, I guess, what is prime smokescreen season. At minimum, I believe that the Panthers are unsure as to who they're going to be drafting at quarterback. And maybe the fact that I do think Bryce Young is the best of this crop has it easier for me to believe that. But I'm buying the fact that Bryce Young is still very much in play for the Carolina Panthers at number one overall.
Yeah, probably in a perfect world, Kevin, if you're taking a look at the Carolina Panthers and why they went to number one, you don't have to say, well, we're going to number one because we already know the guy that we want. They probably get the number one so they don't run into like a Colts situation where they say, you know what? It's really close between Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud. Let's get them both in a room multiple times, work them both out, and then we can make the decision, and we don't have to be hasty about it. We don't have to get lucky here. We don't have to lean towards Bryce Young when he was taking one. We sit at the two spot, and now we get C.J. Stroud. Will we be happy with that? Yes, but we want to control the draft narrative. We want to make sure that we get our guy. And also the interesting parts, when Frank Reich actually takes the podium and answers questions going like, hey, Frank, you only worked with big quarterbacks. And he goes, well, it's not necessarily true, but the honest opinion is, there aren't really any short quarterbacks at 6 foot or under in the NFL. So that's not really a determining factor going, well, you trade up to the top spot and you're not going to work with a short guy. I'm pretty sure if Drew Brees was in his prime, Frank Reich would have liked to work with Drew Brees. There's just not a lot of 5'11 type Russell Wilson quarterbacks that are in the NFL. Most of them are 6'2, 6'3, 6'4, 6'5 type quarterbacks, the prototype that you're looking at. I do think they're doing their due diligence here. And I also see that when they're meeting with quarterbacks, Kevin, it's not just the head coach going. It's the actual looks at the entire organization is sitting in on these meetings because getting the quarterback right is key. And also, Kevin, let's take it back to the philosophy for Frank Reich and what he's operated under as a head coach, continuously getting that veteran quarterback, trying to mold to fit into your scheme. I love the fact that the Carolina Panthers, who have an owner that has more money than God out here, could have paid whatever and went after any quarterback. And Frank Reich was like, you know what? Been there, done that. Let's get our guy. Let's make this move up to number one. Let's figure who's going to work out best for us for the next 10 to 15 years, as opposed to the next 2 to 3 years. But it is interesting to see those odds shift, and they'll continue to shift as more information comes out and leaks behind the scenes on who they actually like.
And part of the benefit, though, to being linked to all of the top quarterbacks is, well, maybe one of the teams behind you is not, oh, I'm fine with whoever we get, and they really, really like one of the guys. I really do believe that the Panthers, if the price is right, will gladly allow the Texans to jump up to number one. And they might even be interested in allowing the Colts to come up to number one overall as well. To bring the Colts into this and to bring Anthony Richardson into this, in this mock draft, Daniel Jeremiah offered up the Indianapolis Colts at fourth overall as the team to select Anthony Richardson. Anthony Richardson has odds on the FanDuel Sportsbook for the team to draft him, which would be the Colts as the favorites at plus 200. Seattle's actually the second choice at plus 350. And then it's the Panthers at plus 450. And what you'll notice there is the Panthers at plus 450 is less than Anthony Richardson's odds to go number one overall at 6-1, which does add a little bit of juice to the idea that the Carolina Panthers could trade back. And to add a little bit more juice to that, yesterday, Thomas Davis was on an NFL Network desk, former Carolina Panther, you would think has ties within that organization. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't, but it would at least make sense. So that he's heard that there are people in that front office enamored with Anthony Richardson. So they've now, again, the Panthers have, you know, successfully found themselves linked to the three top quarterbacks in Richardson, Bryce Young, and of course, C.J. Stroud. And I think the world where the Carolina Panthers pop back in this draft a spot or two or three and draft Anthony Richardson, I also think that is on the table right now, Donnie.
And I do believe you because to me, honestly, let's just put your fan cap on. Forget about the front office, Kevin, the ownership, or what actually makes sense the next 2 to 3 years. If your organization needs a quarterback and you come away with Anthony Richardson as a fan base, you're actually really excited by that because he's the most fun. He's a Madden talent, which means like you pop it on, he can run, he can throw. And if you get it right here and can coach him up, there is no leaps and bounds any higher than you can get than Anthony Richardson. But having said that, is that a smart move? And you talked about the odds overall, and rightfully so, because all it takes is one team that really falls in love with them and says, you know what, I think we can wait till 4 or 5 or 6 to take him. Or if you're getting the smoke screens out there that he might be going number 3 or number 2, where another team from behind is willing to jump you. Because the one thing that the Carolina Panthers did, Kevin, most importantly, was not get to the number one spot, was you get to the number one spot because now you control the draft and you don't have to worry about Kevin jumping you because you were the number one pick. That's what makes it interesting in that 2, 3, or 4 spot here. Do you wait on Richardson? Because if you are the Colts at number 4, let's just say, Kevin, you know, you get together, the GM, the new coach, and also the owner, and go, man, we really love CJ Stroud. I got news for you. CJ Stroud's not going to be available there at 4. So that's why those odds are going to change based on these teams' likes, because they know they need to trade up. And again, if they love CJ Stroud, I'm just talking about the Colts here to make my point. They're not going to stay at 4 and take Anthony Richardson and go, I will just take the next quarterback that might work out in our system. They're not going to do that. They're going to try to move heaven and earth to get up to number 2 if Stroud is still available, or even to the Arizona Cardinals if somebody takes somebody different at 2, like an Anthony Richardson. You want to make sure you get your guy. So these odds are going to change based on what you're hearing, not only from the number 1 position, Kevin, but 2, 3, 4, and 5 on what they feel they need.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, there are some other markets that involve the skill position players that we can take a look at here. And one of them is the odds for the number one, the first wide receiver to be drafted. Jackson Smith and Jigba is a favorite in this market right now at minus 140. It is then Quentin Johnson at plus 350 and Jordan Addison of USC at 5-1. In this mock draft here, again, just using kind of a through line with Daniel Jeremiah, he has Jackson Smith and Jigba come off of the board at 11th overall. And the next wide receiver does not come off the board until 20th in Jordan Addison. And Quentin Johnson then does not come off of the board until 27 with the Buffalo Bills. And we could talk about fits and what have you, but that is a decent gap right now. And as you try and peel through mock drafts, which is, again, what you have to do when you're betting the NFL draft, it's not a consensus yet to me. But it does look like Jackson Smith and Jigba deserves to be the favorite here. But I'm seeing more Jordan Addison in front of Quentin Johnson than this odds market is suggesting here. TCU's Quentin Johnson looks like a faller right now in the NFL draft markets.
It's a great point you bring up, too, because if you don't follow college football ins and outs, I mean, obviously we know Ohio State just prints wide receivers and send them into the NFL, and that's why you lean on Jackson Smith and Jigba. But also, I would have loved if Jackson Smith and Jigba actually played a full year, because quite frankly, he probably would have dominated and there'd be no discussions and he'd be a top 10 wide receiver, but he didn't. So you leave it out there. Do you remember the last guy that did that, Kevin? Didn't play his, I guess, senior season, quote unquote, or junior season before coming out? That was Ja'Marr Chase. And people were saying, like, hey, man, you got the training camp. You can't catch a football because he's not used to the NFL football. How did that work out? Jackson Smith and Jigba is going to be just fine. But I think I agree with you on Quentin Johnson being that faller. He was that guy that, you know, TCU was in the national championship hunt. He was a dominant wide receiver. He's got that big body frame. But something, I guess, didn't work out between the end of the college football season and through the workout stages, which include going to the combine here, because we're not getting that hype. And also, wide receivers being drafted in the top 10, not uncommon. We usually see multiple guys go. But it's interesting this year that and again, it's only a mock draft. We don't know, and it only takes one team. They could draft it 5, 6, or 7. Yep. We don't know that for sure. But we don't have that high riser where you go, my goodness, this is the definite guy you need to get, and he's going in the top 5, a Ja'Marr Chase. It's not there in this draft.
It is not there. But to your point, Smith and Jigba would have likely been that guy had he stayed healthy.
I think he would have been.
And I think because a Ja'Marr Chase exists, people will be able to say, you know what, let's not overthink this. And in some of these mocks that you're seeing, even not out here in Daniel Jeremiah's, but in others, there are some times where you see JSN come off of the board 10 picks earlier than where the next wide receiver is, and it's not even really all that close. Let's get to Bijan Robinson. Bijan Robinson, in this mock draft here, goes 14th overall to the New England Patriots. Now, admittedly, that's hard to imagine, that the Pats are going to select a running back in the first round. I don't know. That doesn't scream Bill Belichick to me. I think Bill often just drafts a guy you've never heard of, and then we all convince ourselves he's going to be real good, and then maybe that doesn't exactly pan out. But Bijan Robinson was also in the news because the Eagles invited him in for a pre-draft workout. The Eagles select 10th overall. And right now, of course, on the FanDuel Sportsbook, we do have odds for the team that will draft Bijan Robinson. The favorite in that market is three teams: the Cowboys, the Commanders, the Chargers, all at 5-1. Cincinnati 7-1, and then those Eagles are at 10-1 here. Bijan, being a running back, is going to be very tricky to get a pure read on where he's going to go, because you won't find a big board that tells you he's anything other than one of the 10 best football players in this class. But also, we are now at the point where I don't know if anybody's really willing to spend a top 10 pick on a running back.
Yeah, and by the way, it is funny that Bijan Robinson is mocked to the New England Patriots. And you're right, it's usually Bill Belichick drafting a cornerback we've never heard of, but he has like pterodactyl length between arms. You know, oh my goodness, he can cover everybody out on the field, and yet they're going to go running back in round one. I don't see that. But he also is such a fun player. Any fan base that heads into the draft in round one, I don't care if he goes, Kevin, 5th to 25th or whatever, if you draft Bijan Robinson, your fan base is going to be fired up because he's going to have an instant impact on a game. You're going to love to see him in your uniform. But we've seen it time and time again. It has to be a luxury pick. Like, it figures if you're going to get Bijan Robinson, it's somebody down in the low 20s, which probably should have been the Eagles had they not got that 10th overall pick, where if he's still on the board, you go, he's actually a top 10 talent, as you said. We sit here at 28th, 29th, 30th, or 31st. He's still here. You got to take that, because if you're being honest to your board, that's what makes some sense. He's a lot of fun, but he is a luxury. If you're drafting in the top 10, it's usually because you're a bad football team and not one running back, Kevin, away from actually succeeding with a legitimate chance to win a Super Bowl. And for the Dallas Cowboys, didn't you just learn your lesson with Zeke? It didn't even equate to playoff victories per se, much less a Super Bowl. You can't do that, Dallas.
No, but again, like, what, you know what I'd love, though? If anyone wants to do a mock draft to grab eyes, please someone mock Bijan second overall to the Houston Texans, just to watch people's heads explode. Reggie, I would love that. We'll do a little more draft as we close out the hour.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Last note I want to get to here on the NFL draft involves the quarterbacks overall. We are, again, not at the point in the calendar where we have our full NFL draft betting menus, but you'll often see position over-unders. You know, five quarterbacks drafted usually is a lofty number, but this recent mock draft here from Daniel Jeremiah has exactly that. Bryce Young goes 1, C.J. Stroud goes 2, Anthony Richardson goes 4. You then see Will Levis go 19th overall to the Bucs. Those are the four names that you've known. You're not going to find odds on there being over under 3.5 quarterbacks selected in this first round. Every single indication that we've been given is that all four of those guys are lock first rounders. And there are probably some out there that think they could all be selected inside the top 10. And then the fifth guy is Hendon Hooker, mocked here to the Minnesota Vikings, who've reportedly been doing their homework on this year's QB class. Hooker coming off of a disastrous injury in the back end of that Tennessee Volunteers season, but he was spectacular last year. An older player, so again, sitting him for a year behind Kirk Cousins, I don't know if that makes sense. But health-wise, you might not have much of another option here. And the Vikings do happen to be the favorite in terms of teams drafting Hendon Hooker, but that is a big old number there, better than 10-1 right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook. But we might just see five quarterbacks come off of the board here in this opening round.
Yeah, and also, it used to be the tractor, right? Well, what's outside of Chris Wenke came in as like a 30-year-old, but we sort of moved that needle on quarterbacks. Kevin's like, ooh, you want them in their late 20s, early 30s. We've seen quarterbacks play at high levels well into their mid-30s, late 30s, even into their 40s. So I don't think it's so much of a detractor for heading to Hooker, where you might be getting value. Let's just say Hooker never got injured. You think the Minnesota Vikings, outside of trading up from 23, would ever get him? Probably not. He was really good last year. A mobile quarterback with a big arm that had success in the SEC. That's a valuable commodity. And now you're going to take him at 23. You still have Kirk Cousins. You play Kirk Cousins for one more year, then you move on. It does actually make sense. It's shocking to see his name in the first round, but is it really, Kevin? It's a good quarterback.
Absolutely. And again, if there's already four off of the board by the time we get to the 20th pick, usually you get another one in that range. Could be very interesting. We'll go to the college basketball landscape to start hour number two.